I think as far as decarbonization and net zero targets are concerned, we will be moving ahead at a much faster pace as against the target set by the country, but at the same time also help in creating that social structures and basics required for the country to move ahead on its path.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Usual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, professionals, and philanthropists who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, and the little joys of life and work. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial, professional, and philanthropic journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcast, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. For this episode, I'm happy to welcome someone who has been instrumental in leveling up the Godrej Enterprises Group sustainability initiatives. Tejasree Joshi is a leading environmental and sustainability expert in this area, and she's leading the environmental sustainability program and the division for the Godrej Enterprises Group, and has spearheaded several first-of-its-kind biodiversity initiatives at the conglomerate. With 18 years of experience in embedding sustainability into business operations, Tejasree has facilitated strategic targets, setting, and achievement on the Godrej Group Sustainability Initiative of Good and Green Vision 2020. She leads programs like environmental studies and planning for new establishments and projects, design and development of environmental management systems, and is also responsible for managing environmental legal compliance performance across all businesses of Godrej Enterprises Group and ensuring extended producers' responsibility conformance for e-waste and plastic waste. A list of achievements run long, and we'll address everything in the course of this conversation. Welcome, Tejasree. Delighted to have you on Unusual Suspects.
Thank you, Gaurav. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast.
You know, Tejasree, let's start with something very basic and fundamental, and leading the sustainability initiatives of a very large conglomerate with a 127-year-old legacy and counting requires a lot of things. It requires, among other things, adaptability and collaboration, because a lot will also depend on anticipating trends. You have to be ahead of the curve, otherwise you'll always be playing catch-up, isn't it? Particularly in adopting best practices. How daunting do you find this task of steering decarbonization efforts at a company with its diverse interests and also very wide geographical spread? Tejasree?
Gaurav, while you're right, looking at the spread, the width and the depth of the organization and the diversity of industrial sectors into which the organization has its products and services, it is a challenge to drive a common agenda and a strategy on sustainability. But at the same time, I think there are a lot of synergies between all the businesses in terms of the core values that we share as an organization. Being 127 years in business doesn't come without a strong foundational base and values. And we have actually identified environment stewardship as one of the fundamental values on which our businesses are based and endeavor to do everything under each of the businesses. So that ties in all our business units, 14 of them, as I mentioned earlier. And we have a common goal or a common strategy in which we want to drive this. So while the applicability of this strategy may change according to the business profile, according to the nature of the business and its customers and its environment in which it operates, the fundamentals of how do we drive it is crafted in a very well-defined strategy on sustainability, what we call as the good and green strategy, which gives us a very clear direction in terms of what do we want to achieve. On each of those material indicators, we have identified for the organization as points of action and impact that we want to create while doing our businesses, and which gives us a very clear pathway in terms of where do we want to reach and how do we want to progress on each of these indicators. Collectively, when the 14 businesses aggregate, Godrej Enterprise Group creates its impact on through its businesses on the environmental sustainability indicators that we have crafted ourselves for. And that's how we actually approach the entire endeavor to make our businesses more responsible with a minimal cost to environment and amplifying the value it creates for our customers. So while it is challenging and yes, at times daunting in terms of synergizing everybody, but I think we take both the top-down and the bottoms-up approach in terms of looking at how this is very synergetically and integrated with the business's operations. The sustainability indicators are driven and acted upon with the endeavor of reaching our final goal.
You know, Tejasri, one task and one responsibility of leading such a complex, diverse, large organization in this space is also that you have to align the goals with the national goals. Decarbonizing the manufacturing sector is a key goal for India as it seeks to be competitive in global markets. Can you take us through the technology and process innovations that have helped you pivot to eco-friendly manufacturing?
Yes, decarbonization is one of our targets under the Good and Green. In fact, we have aligned two of our goals with this particular aspect. One is actually improving our energy productivity. So the approach we take for decarbonization is first step is to improve efficiencies. And that's where you start. You just don't start, just offsetting your footprints or reducing your footprints. But it starts with building in efficiencies. And that's the first step that we take. And with that, for that, we have a goal of achieving 60% improvement in our energy productivity for all our manufacturing operations. Now, Good and Green started in 2010, and over the last 10 years, we have actually improved this energy productivity to the tune of almost around 96%. And from there on, now we intend to improve it further by 60% by the next decade, by end of financial year 32. And that can only happen if we are looking at very micro level, looking at all the processes that we drive in our manufacturing, looking at what are those hotspots where high energy consumptions are happening, and then taking very quick actions in terms of addressing those hotspots, reducing the losses, and building in efficiencies in each of our manufacturing operations to a very, very micro level of each line of operation. And we do that using smart technologies, in terms of smart sensors, the IoT-based systems, and of course, built-in artificial AI, which gives us an indicator in terms of where are the actions that are required to be taken to keep not only maintain the efficiencies we have built in, but also keep improving it with each of our processes. Now, that's on the machines. But there are also another actions that you can take in terms of realigning the processes to more energy efficiencies. Like what we have done is looked at the chemistry of our processes, look at other options of chemicals that we use in our process, which operate at lower temperatures than the traditionally used chemistry that was going into the processes. And we've also improvised on that and now started using chemicals which operate at room temperature rather than where you needed to heat them to around 60 degrees, 65 degrees. In turn, the whole process efficiencies and energy requirements have come down. So looking at each aspect of manufacturing, not only in the machines, but also in the on the process level is very important for us to keep building those efficiencies. And when we say energy efficiency, it's not just one type of energy. It's all forms of energy that we look at to build in efficiencies, including the use of renewable energy and its efficiency. So this is the first step, that develop your efficiencies. The next step is then substituting the use of fossil fuel-based fuels with renewable energy sources And that there we have a plan of transitioning at least 40% of our energy pie to renewable energy by 2032. And when I'm saying this, all this aligns to the pathway of 1.5 degree decarbonization, which the world is today having an endeavor to follow after the Paris Accord and the agreements. Therefore, you know, India as a country has committed to a nationally determined contributions, and we aim to achieve net zero by 2070. But as we say, industry needs to play a big part in helping the nation achieve the net zero target, and it has to do it much quicker than what we have nationally decided ourselves to do. And for that, following the 1.5 degree scenario is the right approach. All these targets that we have set ourselves for with an interim goal by 2032 are aligning to the 1.5 degree decarbonization in terms of building in energy efficiency, in terms of transitioning to renewable energy fuels, and subsequently it will lead us to have a net zero by 2050 or so, as the world is currently on an average targeting through enterprises, to European states and many other entities who are aiming for a net zero by 2050. We have driving this approach across our businesses. All of our businesses are following this approach of building in energy efficiency, transitioning to renewable energy sources, and then looking at each of those aspects where we can plug in losses and keep improving on using lesser and lesser forms of lesser energy for each of our operations, so that we keep maintaining the trajectory of energy efficiencies and improving our productivities through the energy use and producing more and more with the same amount of energy that we are consuming today.
Devashree, tell me something about, you did allude to eco-friendly manufacturing, but tell me something a little bit briefly about green supply chains and circularity. Circular economy has become so, so important and significant now as the cornerstone, as one of the primary cornerstones of sustainable businesses. Where are you on addressing these challenges, and how are you bringing this about?
Yes, if you look at our good and green goals, one is on improving our environmental performance in our manufacturing setups, in our buildings or in our establishments. But the other goal that we have taken is on making products which are good and green, which is good for society, and green in terms of its quotient on environment, and which are completely integrated with our business targets. Our belief is sustainability cannot be something which goes parallel to a business. It has to be the central theme of business. And to do that, we have set revenue targets for our businesses. By 2032, at least 50% of our revenues have to come from products which are green, and preferably products which are third-party certified green. Now, ourselves, we have also set criteria for defining product as green, which talks about energy efficiency, which talks about use of resource, which talks about use phase carbon emissions and reduction in use phase carbon emissions, reducing toxicity or use of toxic materials in producing our products. And at the same time, we have also integrated components like dismantleability and recyclability of products. Now, these are two very important criteria to make product more prone for recycling, more easier for recycling or refurbishing. And also the component of dismantleability ensures that each component is separated and has a proper channel for going for recycling. This is integrated in defining our product for green. Now, this is the start. This is what you're incorporating in the design of the product. From there starts, what do we do at the end of life of product, and how do we leverage materials which are coming out after the use of product as raw material for either for the same process or from any other process. And I'll give you an example where we are very quite early starters on adapting circularity in business. In Vikhroli, which is our headquarters in Mumbai, we have a plant which actually uses demolished concrete or construction and demolition waste, specifically the concrete waste, in again producing concrete blocks for buildings. So a building is demolished, it creates construction and demolition waste, and the waste concrete is crushed back, pulverized, and then used back as raw material in building blocks, which again go back into the buildings in terms of its pavers, in terms of building blocks for replacing clay bricks, and many other precast components where we are using recycled aggregate produced from these waste concrete or recycled concrete blocks for many applications which are non-structural. This is a very classic example of how circularity can be driven in terms of completely avoiding use of virgin material and employing back waste as material in term, going as raw material in the same products. Or it can also be this waste goes in as a raw material in some other products. In Godrej Enterprise, we have 14 businesses. So we also look at synergies in terms of byproducts or materials which are generated in one business. Can that go as a raw material in another business? And then I have examples on that too. This is the way we approach circularity, looking at each of the product, incorporating components of circularity in the design phase itself, looking at the life cycle approach for the product through the tools of life cycle analysis, and see how at the end of the life of the product, what are the byproducts that would get created, and how do we channelize and find pathways for each of these byproducts to go in as raw materials for various other applications. And I think we have set some good examples in driving this. There's a long way to go on this, but I'm sure, you know, with this philosophy for designing for environment in each of our businesses, we are ensuring that resource use efficiency is improved and we plow back more and more recycled material for businesses. That's one part. The next part of your question, if I may continue, is on the sustainability in the supply chain. And I think what we have moved ahead from the last decade is taking a more broader approach on our sustainability goals, not just limiting it to our operations, but expanding it to our supply chain, because they are all partners in this the whole journey. Even circularity, when we drive, we have to onboard our partners at an early stage in design to help them gear up their facilities as well to facilitate this kind of endeavor that an organization like Godrej Enterprise Group is trying to drive. And today, each of our businesses are approaching their partners to adopt a sustainability framework, which we have ourselves adopted for all our locations and businesses, what we call as what's called as the Green Co framework, which is an end-to-end framework looking at sustainability in each aspect of the business, right from design up to the end of life and supply chain of a business. And GreenCo, being a comprehensive framework, has been adopted comprehensively by Godrej Enterprise Group, and we are encouraging all our partners and suppliers as well to do that. We have a goal that by 2032, the interim targets that we have set for ourselves, at least 80% of our domestic purchase value have to come from our partners who have certified GreenCo facilities or have certified green products that they supply to us or have embarked on a journey on science-based targets, which is on decarbonization. And to do that, each of our businesses are driving various approach, but the central theme is to adopt a cluster-based approach where clusters of similar suppliers are grouped together, and this sustainability initiatives are driven through other circle programs like TPM programs, TQM programs, integrating sustainability into these programs and driving it through each of our supplier base.
Tejasree, you know, let's talk about a little bit about net zero and 2070. The government has set a target of achieving net zero by 2070, and the Prime Minister himself has made this announcement. So kind of we have set a clock for it. Do you think it is an ambitious target? And how has your company aligned with that vision?
Definitely, it's an ambitious target for a country like India, which is on a growth path. And we know that, you know, the kind of economic growth that we are looking for ourselves to take, energy is going to be centrally required and most important, probably the most important resource that we will be requiring for moving ahead or keeping pace with the trajectory that we have set ourselves as a country on the economic growth. But I think what is essentially required for us to do is how do we make this transition more responsible in terms of environmental impact, as well as equitable, and look at how the society aligns with this transition. And as far as Godrej Enterprise Group is concerned, like I mentioned a few minutes back, enterprises rather, not just Godrej Enterprise, but all corporations need to have a more stringent trajectory than what India has set itself for. Because if you look at a country, there are so many more aspects that the government have to consider when they're looking at this whole transition in terms of employment, in terms of job opportunities, in terms of the social aspects as well. But as companies, I think we are in a position to facilitate this transition for the country by taking more ambitious goals. And as I said, our goals are aligned to the 1.5 degree decarbonization transition scenario. And we intend to keep track and achieve that. And I'm sure we'll be able to do that much ahead of the time that we have set ourselves for and continue this trajectory. But at the same time, we also endeavor to support this whole transition that the government is doing through our social interventions that we do through our CSR programs. Because I think what is important for India is also to create an employable workforce which will help this transition to greener technology, the clean tech systems that we would need to operate, and training and building that skills in the youth who will service this kind of systems in the coming years. As we see the trajectory on the decarbonization in various sectors, may it be building sector, may it be transport sector, may it be manufacturing, core manufacturing, hard to abate sectors, each of them. This transition has to be supported by skilled workforce. And I think our program on skilling through the employability initiative, what we call as Disha, is also now enabling on building these skills in youth who can then in future be ready in the market to help serve these kind of transitions that are required for moving the whole economy on a greener path and more responsible path. So I think as far as decarbonization and net zero targets are concerned, we will be moving ahead at a much faster pace as against the targets set by the country. But at the same time, also help in creating that social structures and basics required for the country to move ahead on this path.
Tejasri, finally, let's talk about your work involving the expansion of wetlands, particularly mangroves. They're, of course, a natural shield for our coastline. I understand that this project has also culminated in innovative products like a mangroves app and a children's storybook. Tell me more about this.
Yes, Gaurav, thanks. I mean, this is one of our project which is very close to the Godrej Enterprise Group. And it dates back much before then we started our Good and Green journey. Our lands on in Vikhroli host this luxuriant mangrove patch of over hundreds of acres along the western banks of Thane Creek and aligning the entire property in Vikhroli. And since the land was bought by the family in Vikhroli, there was always a consciousness that this is a forest which is existing on the land. And way back in early 1980s, the founders commissioned a team of experts to identify the importance of these forests. And as you would agree with me, you know, back then, there was very little information about what mangroves are, how important are they for cities, a coastal city like Mumbai, and why do we need to protect them? And this expert group, which was led by the late Dr. Salim Ali, guided the organization in terms of how do we approach conserving these mangroves on our lands. And the decision of conserving them to posterity was taken back then, when really there were huge pressures on real estate development in the city. But being the visionaries that the Godrej family and Mr. Sorabji, late Mr. Sorabji Godrej and his brothers were, they actually carved out this land for protection, conservation of the mangroves forest. And since then, we have been approaching this conservation based on the three-pronged approach of research, conservation, and awareness. The research that we do on the forest, and which continues since it was first commissioned to understand the forest and its biodiversity way back in late 1990s, continues on very different aspects of the ecosystem, including we have done a study on the carbon sequestration of these mangroves and how much of the carbon stock it holds within itself. It also gives us an insight on the kind of biodiversity and the ecosystem services that these forests are today providing to a city like Mumbai, which has very huge pressures due to anthropogenic activities. Research leads to what do we do on conservation for these forests and how do we protect them and help them grow in a more healthier way. And if you ever come to Vikhroli and see the mangroves, you would see that they are much healthier than many other mangrove forests that you will find, not in the city, but elsewhere as well in the country. And that's a clear indication of how responsibly do we drive our upstream industrial activities, so that it's a symbiotic relation between industry and nature. And we are able to demonstrate that. Although we are also able to demonstrate that industry can coexist with nature, culture without harming it. And research then leads to awareness. And I think that's a very important pillar that we drive, because I think creating awareness amongst the youth, amongst children, amongst citizens is very important for them to know why this needs to be done and how important it is for cities like Mumbai or the coastal areas to protect this beautiful forest. And we do, not only we do it on our lands, but we are also partnering with organizations like WWF to spread this word across the coastal states in Mumbai, in the country, and using technology to do that through the app that you just mentioned, which gives scientific information on all the species of mangroves that are found not only in India, but Southeast Asia. And through our program called the Magical Mangroves Program with WWF, we are actually creating volunteers who would then further drive this awareness initiatives in the local areas that they are working in each of the coastal states of India, where mangroves are available and where mangroves are existing today, to bring this sensitization in the citizens and youth in terms of conservation. And while doing that, we are also looking at how do we reach out not just beyond Mumbai, Maharashtra and the coastal states of India, but likewise beyond and internationally. And this app has been a great tool in reaching out to conservationists beyond the country. Almost more than 130 countries have used this app for looking at mangroves and conservation through their research communities and students' communities. And this endeavor continues. Over the last 5 years, we have been able to sensitize over a lakh of youth and citizens through our various programs on conservation and particularly on the mangroves conservation.
Thank you, Tejasri. Thank you for sharing your deep insights and perspective on a range of issues. Thank you for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you, Gaurav. Thank you for having me.